content of the following program is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, treatment, or cure. Always consult your physician or a health professional with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition. Go higher, baby. You're in the right place. You're listening to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Danny Miles, Lexi Brinkley, and I've got Vaughn Eaglin in studio with us today. How are you doing, Vaughn?
Hey, I'm great. It's great. It's great to be here.
I always love having you in studio. I do. He is a beam of sunshine. He really is. And he fixes brains.
Yeah. I try to, at least. That's one of my goals in life.
Well, yeah. And you, working on your PhD research, which focuses on couple relationships and men and groups. And your specialty is in
I have a lot of
anger management. That's what it is.
That's one of them.
Yeah, and then abuse and addiction, just to name a few.
Yeah. So I deal with a lot with men, a lot of masculinity issues. In fact, that's one of the issues. That's one of the things that we're going to be talking about today.
I saw Wonder Woman the other day.
That is a great movie. I've actually seen it twice. So have you? Yeah, I went once with a friend of mine, and then my wife really wanted to see it, so I went with her. So
I love that movie. Absolutely love it. It's right up there with it's one of my top five movies, if not maybe number two, one or two. I don't know. I just thought it was so well done.
I agree with you. And see, there's one part in there where all the guys are kind of cowering, and then she just says, you know what? I don't care what you're doing. I'm just going to get up and I'm just going to do my thing. And it's just like an awesome feminine, moment where she just does her thing.
She just took off running and I don't want to give the movie away because Marie's listening and Lexi's listening, okay. And I almost gave it away yesterday because I'm going to go back and see it again.
Okay.
Like you, maybe three.
I think it's worth the price of admission.
So. Oh my gosh. I left the studio feeling like Wonder Woman. And speaking of Wonder Woman, we have Lori Hernandez on the show today. She is the gold medal winning Olympic gymnast and Dancing with the Stars champion. She's only 16 years old. This girl is dynamic.
She's amazing.
Absolutely dynamic. The name of her book is I Got This. We're going to be talking about tips for active teens and families. And I can't wait to talk to this girl. Her book is really, really good. I encourage all parents out there that have daughters to buy this book for their daughters to read.
Yeah, I watched her all throughout the Olympics, and I was just amazed by her, her ability, and then her poise to be able to, win the gold medal.
I'm going to ask her about her little tricks. She's got two tricks.
Two tricks.
Two tricks I'm to interested. Calm her nerves. I almost went and got some. Because I'm nervous about having her on the show.
She's a big deal.
She's a big deal. I'm like, oh my gosh, she's a big deal. Yes. I'm a little nervous, And so I'm just going to say that. And it's all set up, and she'll be on here in just a couple minutes after the first break. She'll be calling in, and can't wait to talk to her about so many things. And we should all be inspired by women, young women like her.
Yeah.
But whether you're a male or not, right?
Mm-hmm. I agree with you.
Are men intimidated by successful women? Is that true?
Every man is a little bit different, but I think alpha men, true alpha men, not what I call a beta male, they are not intimidated by successful women because they have nothing to be threatened by. Mm-hmm. But someone who questions themselves, someone who has low self-esteem, someone who lacks their confidence, when they see that, they are probably going to be threatened by it. So.
Mm-hmm.
That's my opinion on it.
Talk
more about that.
Well, we're talking about connecting with men in your life effectively. Part two. I don't have part one. We did part one. I was looking for my notes. They're probably in there somewhere, but it's all the same. Part one, part two.
It should be pretty good. I'm looking forward to it. A lot of women want to understand what makes men tick. Why do they have so much conflict with them? How do they talk to their partner effectively? And those are some of the things that we're going to be talking about today.
Yeah, I think it's important that we understand one another. I really, really do. Relationships are hard, and broken hearts are hard.
Yeah.
It's very hard to get over a broken heart. Mm-hmm. And so I'm dealing with it myself.
Oh, okay.
So,
step into my office, Bernadette.
Yeah.
anytime you want to come on in.
You'll have to remind me on the air. I can be a little too transparent sometimes. But, Danny, yesterday with Ryan Lowry, we were talking about this BS that's out there about coconut oil. Have you heard about it?
No, I haven't. happen, actually.
The American Heart Association is saying that coconut oil is bad for you, basically.
Really?
Yeah, which is total BS, and there's so much science to... I'm wondering, so is the U.S. Gov going to take out a patent on coconut oil and avocado oil, too?
They're probably going to produce some GMO seeds for it.
See if they can turn it into something they can make money off of instead of letting us all heal naturally through our food.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. Seriously. Yeah,
they try to regulate everything, so...
Man, well...
Well, everything's bad in, when you exceed moderation.
Right. Well,
it's kind of like, it seems like every now and then you get those studies that come out where coffee is awful or stuff causes cancer. And then you look at the fine print and you see, well, if you eat or drink a certain amount where it's like, well, no human in the right mind could eat or drink that much. Of course it's going to cause cancer.
Mm-hmm.
Of course it's going to cause heart defects.
Yeah, so, well, I just think it's such baloney and pastrami. Okay,
like your Italian side
they're
coming
trying
out.
to, you know. Well, I'll read this again. I read it yesterday, and then I want to talk about this. Well, let me talk first about on the Well-Being Journal on the cover. This is from what issue is this? Volume July, August 2016. It's from last year, but it's all good, you know. And they talk about eat better, live better, feel better, improve vision with nutrition. So I was just looking through some stuff, and I opened it up, and guess what it says? Healthy eyes and the role of coconut oil ketones.
Wow.
Okay, and it goes on to talk about how we can avoid age-related degenerative eye disease. Eyesight naturally diminishes to some extent as we age, but our eyes can improve, can provide us with good service for a lifetime regardless of age. New research reveals that good eyesight can be maintained for life, and age-related eye disorders can be stopped cold and possibly even reversed, and the key to maintaining healthy eyes is diet. And I'm going to tell you, I have a personal experience with this because I've never really had great eyes, mm-hmm. okay, like eyesight. I've always been, I can't see things far away, so nearsighted. So I just got interrupted by I guess we're going to break. All right, everyone, stay tuned. We have got Lori Hernandez coming up. You're listening to One Life Radio. Hi, this is Bernadette, here to tell you about the world's most trusted hemp extract, Charlotte's Web, by the Stanley Brothers. Charlotte's Web hemp oil contains naturally occurring antioxidants and neuroprotectants. This amazing product is hand-planted and grown using organic farming practices on Colorado family farms. CW has a variety of wellness applications and has achieved global recognition from media coverage of Little Charlotte's amazing success story. All I have to say is thank you, Charlotte's Web, for improving lives with natural Colorado wellness. Visit them at cwhemp.com. That's cwhemp.com. Charlotte's Web, the world's most trusted hemp extract.
Hi, this is Vaughn Eaglin. As a licensed professional counselor and supervisor, I spend my career helping people cope with emotional problems. But today, I want to talk to you about nutrition. People ask me all the time for nutrition and weight loss advice, and I always find myself recommending a raw vegan protein, a food supplement called Warrior Blend by Sun Warrior. I wasn't always active and fit. In fact, I was very overweight as a child. And as a counselor, I must emphasize the importance of the mind-body connection. A clean body helps with a clean mind. Start today with Sun Warrior Blend Raw Vegan Protein. For more information, go to sunwarrior.com and start living clean today.
Today, we're here to tell you about the success of Squatty Potty. Consumers are experiencing the healthful benefits from having the correct posture when eliminating the toxic and harmful fecal waste from their bodies. Now, Squatty Potty has made it portable. Introducing Porta Squatty. Now you can experience the healthful benefits no matter where the road takes you. It easily folds up and fits into a discreet carrying bag the size of a book. Porta Squatty. Available at Bed Bath Beyond, Amazon, or for an exclusive discount of 25% off your entire order, use code One Life at checkout at SquattyPotty.com.
Do you want to reverse the early signs of aging? Hi, this is Bernadette. Do what I do.
Pixel Perfect is an aesthetic laser treatment that lifts away years from your face. It can help reverse the early signs of aging and helps counteract years of sun damage or acne scarring. It provides noticeable results. Imagine a dramatic new you. To learn more, go to LynnRobertsMD.com. That's L-Y-N-N-E, RobertsMD.com. Or call 469-232-9300. That's 469-232-9300. And tell them that Bernadette sent you. 1, 2, 3, 4. Welcome back to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Danny Miles, Lexi Brinkley, Von England, and our very special guest today, Lori Hernandez. Oh my gosh, Lori, welcome to One Life Radio.
Thank you for having me.
I'm nervous. I need some peppermint oil. And we're going to tell our listeners what I'm talking about here in just a second. Lori, such a joy to have you on the show. You're amazing. You are Wonder Woman. You know, not only are you the firstborn Latina Olympic gymnast since 1984, you are also the youngest winner of Dancing with the Stars and now is releasing your new book, which I've got and I've read, and it is amazing. I got this to gold and beyond. So I have to ask you, what was more exciting, winning the Olympic gold medal or winning Dancing with the Stars?
They both mean so much to me, honestly. I mean, they are both very different also. I mean, the Olympics was, like, training for me. It was 11 years, and then the pressure came from, okay, can I hit this routine one last time? Mm-hmm. Whereas Dancing with the Stars, it was just, okay, week one, we're going to do a cha-cha. Week two, we're going to do a jive. Week three, and it switched on me every single week, and then soon you had to do two different dances a week, and it was definitely stressful in a sense. And they were trying to transform you into a professional ballroom dancer within the 10 to 11 weeks that you were on the show.
I don't even know how you did it. When I read what you had to do, the traveling you had to do, I don't know how the two of you did it. And congratulations to you on all of it. It's absolutely amazing at your age that you're so accomplished. You know, and so I have to ask you, how do you stay so humble and so grounded through all of this success?
I think I could definitely thank my parents for that one. I mean, they raised me and my siblings with a lot of respect, and they taught us to be really kind to each other and to respect other people. I mean, you never know what kind of day someone else is having. And so my mom had always told me, you know, my goal in life was always to help other people, and I have the platform to do that now. So I think being able to be really grounded with my family helps me just to stay humble and keep my feet on the ground.
Well, your mother is obviously very intuitive and very, very loving, because just the nature of the job that she's a social worker, and so is your oldest sister, correct?
Yes, they both. It's really funny. They both have the same job, just in different places.
That's so amazing. It really is. So to get to, you know, you say in your book, chapter 4, at competitions, even to this day, before I get on the equipment, I usually feel like I'm going to have a heart attack. And so you have these two little tricks that you use. Can you tell our listeners what they are?
So the first trick is to actually use peppermint oil before you go to compete. So I noticed that just putting one or two drops on my hands and smelling it kind of clears your head. It takes your mind off of what you're about to do. And sometimes I would actually dab a little bit on my wristbands for bars so I could smell it. And it just, I don't know, the scent is really calming. And then the second thing is to just place your hand on your stomach and to kind of watch your stomach as you breathe, and it goes up and down. And doing that really actually lowers your heart rate, and it slows down, I don't know, It makes you a lot less nervous. And
I'm going to do it. I'm going to try it, because sometimes I got nervous about you being on the show today. I'm like, oh my gosh, Lori Hernandez, she's huge. You know, she's huge. I'm going to go get some peppermint oil at Whole Foods or something before the show. I'm going to start using it. I am. Absolutely.
You know, all athletes are superstitious. Now, are you superstitious when it comes to before a competition, you and your teammates, or even Dancing with the Stars?
That's a great question.
Do you have your routine?
I mean, I don't really like to call it superstition. I think it's more of just, you know, a ritual that you do every time.
Yeah.
But, I mean, something that I would do ever since I was a little kid, I would get so nervous. I mean, at some point, I remember telling my coaches, like, look, I am so nervous, I feel like I can't even walk on the beam or get up at all. And my mom told me that her mom told her, whenever you're doing anything, place your hand on whatever it is and just say you're mine and own it. And basically just understand that, like, this is your event, this is your time to shine. And so before every competition, I would actually grab the event and I would say that. And that was something I would actually do every single time.
I think it's great advice. I really do. And so, you know, what was it like growing up in the Hernandez house?
There were a lot of athletes in the house for sure. My brother was a track runner and my sister is a black belt in karate. And I started off doing gymnastics. So other than the fact that my brother would play baseball indoors and break a bunch of picture frames, it was pretty calm in the house.
Well, you know, in the book, you know, you talk about when it was that you became so interested in gymnastics, and I'm just going to read it. Then one day I was watching TV and I saw Shawn Johnson doing flips. I can still remember how graceful and controlled she was. Even at that age, I could see she was pure magic on the beam. I pointed at the screen and said, "Mom, look, I want to do gymnastics and I want to go to the Olympics just like her." And you said that, and you did it. And why do you, what is the number one message you want to send to moms and fathers both and their children and about listening to what they want to do in their life, what their dreams are?
I think for the kids, a good rule that I could give them would definitely be just to push through the hard times. First, you have to find what you're passionate about and what makes you happy. And then afterwards, just kind of dedicate a lot of time to it, because once you find what you're passionate about, you're able to kind of leave your mark in that area. And when it comes to parents, I think it's more just supporting the kid. I mean, I think whether I did gymnastics, soccer, or had any other hobbies, I think my parents would have supported me on that. And so I think it would be just to support your kid and support their dreams. And I do feel like that's what my parents did, and I respect them so much for, you know, kind of revolving around my schedule for a little.
Well, and I read in your book that your father planted the seed about Dancing with the Stars, and he even gave up Monday Night Football because I guess Dancing with the Stars is on the same time. I wouldn't know that because I'm a football fan too, and there's no way I'm giving up Monday Night Football, but...
So I would actually, my whole family would sit down together on Monday nights, and we would watch the show, and it was something that I really enjoyed. I mean, I'd come home from a long day, and all I wanted to do was kind of leave the gym at the gym, and when I came home, it was pure just home and my family and calm, and that show was something that I turned to. And so one day my dad would nudge me as we're watching the show, and he said, "You know, someday you're going to be on that show." And I was like, "Dad, stop. It's so weird. Why would you say that, you know?" And then a year later, I got the call that I was going to be on the show, and he was the first person I told. And he was like, "Not to say this, but like, I told you, you know."
Mm-hmm.
So it was very sweet.
I think it's great. And I think that's so important, the message of families sticking together and sitting down and doing things together. I am so passionate about family meals. I feel that they are so important. That's how you stay in touch with your children. And you can see little nuances in their behavior or things that maybe are going on in their life. It's so important. And we've gotten away from it in this country. And I hope that, you know, maybe with your influence, we can help to bring it back, because your success story is definitely because of the strength of your family.
Absolutely. I mean, it definitely took a village to get me where I am today.
So, well, so
I'm grateful.
What's on the horizon for you next? Are you going to climb Mount Everest?
Or are you training? Are you training for the next Olympics?
Yeah, are you exactly?
So, I mean, from last year's Olympics, I am taking a little break, just kind of mentally and physically. And I'm taking the time just to relax my body. But at the end of the summer, I'll probably ease my way back into it and cross your fingers for 2020. But I am on my senior year of high school, so I'm looking forward to college in the future as well. And, yeah, I mean, me and my mom. So I am an ambassador for the Febreze at Walmart. And it is so exciting because I travel so much. And I got to shoot a video with my mom, and she's just the sweetest, and I'm so glad she could be a part of this.
Oh, absolutely. So where can our viewers go to see the video that you recently made with your mom?
So the video is actually on YouTube, but for more information, you could go to walmart.com. She's just adorable.
Aw, well, you know, I have two daughters, somewhere in the middle of, I have a 20-year-old and a 12-year-old, so you're like right in the middle of that, and I can tell you that they are the absolute most dearest things on the planet to me. All children, aww, though, and not all children get the great, upbringing that you did and that I did, and it breaks my heart, and I just love that you came on the show. I appreciate it so much. I know that you're on a tight schedule, so we're going to go to break, and I just thank you so much. And I hope you'll jump on the air with us sometime again to, you know, encourage people and the importance of family.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
All right, Lori Hernandez, so great to have her on the show. You can go to her video on YouTube. We'll put it on our social media so it'll make it easy for you. And we're going to break. We'll be back with Von Eaglin. You're listening to One Life Radio.
Give your body some soul with Sun Warrior's new Soul Good Protein Bars. Sun Warrior is committed to making the best plant-based proteins and superfood supplements from the finest organic ingredients across the globe. Soul Good Bars have an amazing profile. They have 17 to 19 grams of clean organic protein, very low sugar, and 16 to 17 grams of fiber. They're available in delicious flavors like Blueberry Blast, Coconut Cashew, Cinnamon Roll, and Salted Caramel. Check them out online at sunwarrior.com. That's sunwarrior.com. And give your adventure some soul.
We all know water is essential for life, but all water is not created equal. And here's what separates Crazy Water from the rest. Crazy Water is as nature intended, with minerals and electrolytes infused by Mother Nature, not some factory. Have it shipped right to your house or find a retailer near you through their website at drinkcrazywater.com. That's drinkcrazywater.com. It's water as nature intended.
Here's the dill pickle. Squatty Potty works. It's awesome. Find yours at your local Bed Bath & Beyond, Amazon, or SquattyPotty.com. That's SquattyPotty.com.
Hey, this is Sean Wells of the International Society of Sports Nutrition. One Life Radio is proud to partner with the ISSN. The ISSN is the world's leading scientific organization dedicated to the science of supplements and sports nutrition. For their latest conferences and events, go to theissn.org. That's theissn.org.
I'm excited. That was exciting.
Yeah.
It really, really was. And oh my gosh, yeah. So welcome back to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Danny Miles.
You know what I just did?
Lexi Brinkley and Von Eaglin.
You know what I just did?
Talk to me, Danny.
What'd you do?
I just went on YouTube and looked at some of Lori Hernandez's, you know, from the Olympics. And I'll be damned if she didn't do that.
Didn't do what?
Smell her wrists.
Oh, yeah. No, she did. I already know. I knew
oil.
That.
Yeah.
Because I remember watching her. And, you know, it's so funny. So I don't know if I probably I'm just going to say it. Okay. So I have this weird thing. I have a couple of weird things. But I'm superstitious before I come and do the show every day.
We all have OCD tendencies.
Okay.
Oh,
so,
gosh, I do.
And so
yeah.
I've got a shrink here. So doctor, or not yet, almost, PhD, yes. Von Eaglin is a licensed professional counselor, supervisor, and works with two group practices here in the Dallas area. He's a certified couple relationship trainer and sees a wide range of clients addressing men's issues, anger management, abuse, and addiction, just to name a few. He's also a doctoral candidate at the University of North Texas in the Counseling and Higher Education Department, and his PhD research focuses on couple relationships, men, and groups. You can find him at onelifradio.com or wefixbrains.com. Love having this guy on the show. And
now fix my weirdness.
Okay, so here's what I do. And you know what's funny? So my daughter was with me this morning. I'm going to be very transparent here. So if you don't think I'm a weirdo, now you'll really think I'm a weirdo, okay? So
Go for it.
Compare weirdnesses because I'll tell you mine.
Okay.
Okay, so I have this thing, like, I don't like underground garages, first of all. Like, they wig me out.
That's here in this building, actually.
Yeah, and it's here. And so for the first couple of years I did the show, I used to park outside between the two, but then they said, no, we can't park there anymore. You have to park underground. So I was like, oh, okay. I can still, like, feel the breeze or see the light from outside. Okay. And so it was okay. And I always park on the first level.
I did not know this.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so, see?
Yeah.
And then.
But, you know,
Then Telos came and said, you can't park in any of these spots. And so it like tightened the whole spacing up. So I purposely come late every day just so I can, after the people that leave from the, you know, the 10 o'clock shows and at 10, so I can, and then they take them about an hour, whatever. I usually find a better parking spot on the first floor because I refuse to park. The one time
why?
I don't know because I'm a nut. I don't know.
The reason why I ask you this is my sweetie Robin has the same, I don't want to say issue, but it's almost like a claustrophobic thing.
Yeah, it is a claustrophobic thing, I think, right?
It's the reason behind it. So what's the reason? Like, what thought is going through your head that's causing some anxiety whenever you...
I don't know. I'm going to blame it on my brothers because they tortured me when I was little.
Okay.
And they would, like, jump on top of me and put a blanket over me and, like, not let me out and stuff like that.
You were traumatized.
I was traumatized by them.
But are you claustrophobic? Do you have problems being in an elevator for more than a certain amount of time?
I've learned to control it better through flotation therapy. Okay. I learned to let it go because,
you are weird.
I am. I'm just claustrophobic. I don't like to be trapped or enclosed by anyone or anything. I don't like to be controlled.
But your car's fine because it has windows, right?
Yeah, my car's fine. Okay. Yeah, and it goes fast.
But if it didn't, if you were like in the back of a kidnapped van, you would have a problem.
I'd probably lose my mind. Yeah.
I heard you saying like being able to see stuff, like see the horizon. And when you're in a car, you have windows. But in a van, like with one of those vans that you're going to get kidnapped in, no windows anywhere.
Yeah, I wouldn't like that.
So if you're on a cruise without a porthole,
that's part of the reason. Wow. I'm not going on a cruise because if I can't jump off the boat and swim home, I'm not doing it.
Get a balcony when
you deal with do you deal with clients that have that type of is it a phobia?
What we're talking about is a specific form of anxiety. And when we talk about obsessive compulsive disorder, you know, that's one. I'm not saying.
We kind of got started on this.
You can
be completely transparent. I don't care who knows my stuff. Okay. I really don't. Because part of being human and being likable is being able to relate to other people. And I want people to know that, you know, that we're all in this together and we all have our little idiosyncrasies.
Yeah, you said it right.
Okay.
Well, I mean, I have my routine before I like get into a car.
What's your weirdness?
Before
I leave, it all stems from like when I was playing baseball, I never stepped on the lines.
Right.
I did stuff with my batting gloves that I had a 1-2-3, 1-2-3.
Right.
Almost before every at, not before every at bat, but before every pitch. Yeah. So it's just kind of like, and now I'm 52 years old, and when I leave my house, if I forget to do something out of my routine, I will literally walk back into the house and do that routine.
Okay. You're a weirdo.
That's OCD. That's OCD. No.
Even my sweetie doesn't know
well,
that.
She does now.
Yeah.
She does now. You broadcast it, I guess, nationally. So all of us have some OCD tendencies.
That is not so funny, abnormal
because something about rituals make people feel safe and comfortable.
Right. Yeah. It does. So, it's like you get into the ritualism. Okay, can I blame it on the Catholic Church? Because they instill that in you, too.
Yeah, I grew up Catholic, so I know.
It's all about ritualism.
But rituals make people feel safe. Anytime you have routine, so like let's say if I have a kid who just came from Hurricane Katrina, you know, there's a big tropical storm down in southeast Texas, Louisiana right now. But if they get removed, my first suggestion to the parents is going to be get the kid in a routine because that routine is going to make the kid feel safe and comfortable because they've just gone through all this change and this transition. And so something about rituals. And then if you have success, it's kind of like we train ourselves. So let's say, just like what Danny was saying, let's say I'm a football player. I pull my socks up and I catch a touchdown that game. Well, the next time I go to play a game, I'm going to pull my socks up because there's an opportunity. There's a chance I just might catch a touchdown because for some reason – I related the touchdown, my socks to the success. You know what I mean? Now, even though I might not catch a touchdown. It's true. Even though I might not even catch a touchdown, I'm still going to pull my socks up because there's a chance.
It's better than other rituals where, like, they won't wear or they won't wash their jockstrap until they get into a slump.
Humans are so screwed up.
If they're in a hot streak, they will wear the same stuff and not wash it.
Same funk.
Wade Boggs, one of the greatest hitters of all time, ate the same meal before a game.
Yeah.
Wow.
And we get trained. It's called operant conditioning. I'll give you a story. So there was a guy, he was actually trying to train his wife. So every time his wife fed him a meal and served him a plate with a crack on it, he would give her a compliment on the dinner. Like, this is awesome. I really like this. You're a great, you're an amazing cook. And so over time, just naturally, operant conditioning, you know, Pavlov and the dog, you know, you ring the bell and the dog starts salivating even though there's no food presented. His wife just over time started giving him the plate with the crack in it. You know, and then about a year later, he said, yeah, I was actually training you. And she got pretty upset about it. But it's operant conditioning. It's not operant conditioning. It's actually called classical conditioning. So you're being conditioned without even knowing it. So
that's kind of scary.
Yeah, we do that to ourselves sometimes. Well, you know, you can talk about media and stuff like that. But again, like, that's how people just work. That's just how we are.
I won't go down. I'm convinced, because the one day that I was forced to have to go to like the second or third floor, I think, Danny, you appeared like a vampire out of nowhere that day, too. And you even weirded me out. I'm like, where did Danny? I never see Danny down here. Where did he come from?
Well, I never saw you down there.
Right.
You were in your trunk doing something. I'm like, hello. And you looked at me.
Don't get shot, Danny.
And I had a bad show. I had a bad show that day, too. I'm like, I'm never doing that again. See, it's the second and third level. I'm staying on level one. You know, and so
today. Let me ask Lexi, do you have any phobias, or do your friends have any strange phobias?
There's a ritual.
You know, you dated a baseball player. Did he have any phobias or rituals or?
He had rituals. I couldn't tell you what they were, though. I don't remember.
You just weren't.
But he definitely had. I mean, he would tell me how many rituals all the players have.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Well, I have this thing when I leave my house. I have to force myself to go out the one gate that I never go out because I'm afraid if I go out that gate, I'm going to have a bad day. I'm serious. Yeah. I'm a weirdo. Yeah. I told you. I know there's people out there that can relate.
You've equated, you know, going at that specific gate with having a good day.
And I don't, exactly. You know, and so,
I don't think I have any rituals.
I'm going out that gate tomorrow morning.
Not that I know of.
You have before you go to bed, don't you have a routine?
Not really.
You don't have you just fly by the seat.
My day is different every day.
Yeah. Well, I have to say, she's very easy to work with, very easygoing. Like, I love this girl. She was a godsend to me.
Wow.
Because she's just so flexible about everything. And so, and she's taught me to be more flexible too and less OCD. And so I'm going to start parking on the second level. I'm going to.
There you go.
Well, you are flexible.
Well, so my daughter was in the car with me and she was like, Mom, just go down to the second level or the third level. And she's like, face your fears. And I said, you know, that's the same advice I would give you. And she said, you're right. And so I said, okay.
Wow.
We're going down to the second level.
Wow.
And you know what? I did it. And I had a great interview with Lori Hernandez.
You sound proud of yourself,
in spite of all of it.
Well,
you know?
And she had her routines. And does it help to have a routine and your loved one doesn't? Or.
Well, I tell you this, that all couples have rituals as well. Like, whenever I interview couples, like, one of the main things, whenever I'm doing what's called an oral history interview, I'm asking them about their couple's rituals. For instance, what do you do? What's your routine whenever your spouse or your partner leaves the house? What's your routine? Do you kiss them? Do you hug them? What about whenever you've been apart for 8 hours? What is your ritual for reconnection or reunion times? Because do you come home? Do you give them a hug? Do you give them a kiss? What's your ritual for bedtime? What's your ritual? Like, we all have these routines and these traditions that mean certain things. And couples need to align on what that is. For instance, you know, if Christmas means one thing to one person, but it means something else to somebody else, they have two different ideas and two different belief systems about what that is. And so they have to align on some of those things and create what's called shared meaning together. And so they can have shared rituals, routines, and traditions together as a couple that are just unique to that couple.
Right. So, well, and when you were just speaking, I was thinking about my beloved father would come over from the grocery store every night and tuck us into bed and kiss us goodnight and tell us sweet dreams.
Wow. Yeah.
You know, every single night.
Let me ask you something. Do you do something similar with your daughters? Or?
Yes.
Yeah. See?
Yep.
You know, I never thought of that, but when I go home, Mom kisses me goodnight.
Aww.
There you go.
And I never thought of that, but it's like, I didn't think it's weird at the, you know, when I go home, like I'm going to be going home sometime this summer. And when I stay the night over at Mom's, it's just kind of like I'm Okay. Now she's 5 years old again.
Yeah,
I don't even consider it as a ritual.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
like, it's just what we do.
Yeah. It's what we do. So you fit into the system. It's called, you know, that's family systems theory.
You're making me think of a funny one with my dad. So we used to make fun of him for this. God bless his soul. You know, so every time we would go to Houston to visit them, my father would come out when the car would drive away, he'd make us wait. So he gave us a blessing before he left.
And so the Catholic thing?
Yeah, okay. He did say like the spirit. The God, whatever, and he would have like this thing that he would say, and so I'm like, oh my gosh, and we would probably laugh for, you know, we would laugh about it till we got to the end of the road and then turned. And so now I find myself doing. I don't remember the words that my dad. I wish I think I have them somewhere on a video because one time I think we videoed him because we thought it was so hysterical. It was like a family joke, and now I catch myself. When my daughter drives back to Oklahoma, I'm out in the driveway.
Giving her a blessing.
I gotta like tell her no, honey, and I like do the thing like my father and pretend I'm saying it, and they all laugh. But the point is, it makes me feel better to do that.
Exactly. My mom does something similar as well because she always she'll touch the car like she's praying over the car, and then she always says, "Take a steady gait, baby. Take a steady gait." I'm just like, "Okay, mom, I got it." And sometimes I'll say it before she does. I said, "Mom, I'll take a steady gait," and she's like, "Okay, go ahead and do it." And so, but that's just what they do, and they always wait in my. When my wife first came home with me, she says, "You guys take so long to just say goodbye. What is wrong with your family? Why don't you just say bye and walk off? Like, I don't get it." And we're like, that's just our family. We linger and we linger a little bit more, and then we're just going to keep lingering around.
We are the same way.
Okay.
So. And you were raised Catholic too?
I was raised Catholic.
Okay.
That's correct,
now there's a connection there somehow. Uh-huh. All the ritualism, right?
That's I was born into it.
You got a bless and the smoke and all the stuff before you leave the property.
You got it.
And God help us when, like you said, when the holidays come along, where it's like Thanksgiving and everybody leaves at the same time, that goodbye is about an hour.
Oh yeah,
and it goes from the dining room to the living room to the front porch to the driveway.
And I'm gonna hug like five different people five times at each location.
Yeah.
And I hug you in the living room. Bye. I'll see you later. I hug you in the front in the entry floor. Bye. I'll see you later. You know, I hug you by the car. Bye. I'll see you later.
But that's a good thing.
That's such a rich
good thing because love is so rich. Yeah. And when you're separated for long periods of time, there's nothing that feels better than a hug from your family's members that you love so dearly.
You're right. I agree with you. And again, you heard me talk about this before, that you release that hormone called oxytocin.
Mm-hmm.
It makes you feel bonded and connected. And anytime you hug somebody, because sometimes even when my couples come into my office and I do family and I do like couples counseling, at the end of a certain dialogue, it's called safe conversations, I make them hug for one whole minute because we're just going to release that oxytocin.
Yeah.
Because
you're going to make me well up here. I'm getting ready to cry.
Well, the typical hug lasts about 3 seconds. Someone you love, maybe about 7 to 9 seconds. And I'd like to push that boundary quite a bit. So we're going to hug just for a whole minute so you can just feel the warmth of your partner. You can feel their body pressed against you. Sometimes if you get quiet enough, you can even feel their heartbeat because, you know, it's just a moment in time where you can just be mindful and just connect with your person. So
I love it. Yeah. I love it. And we're going to continue on, everyone. Stay tuned. You're listening to One Life Radio and Vaughn Eaglin. Call us crazy. We don't mind. Crazy Water's all-natural mineral water has been making people feel good inside and out since 1881. As the only mineral water bottled in Texas, their water boasts loads of benefits that other bottled waters can only envy. Pretty crazy, huh? Find it at your local Whole Foods, HEB, Central Market, or have it shipped right to your door. Visit them at drinkcrazywater.com. That's drinkcrazywater.com.
There's no easier way to add color to your life than to decorate your home and garden with lights. They aren't just for Christmas. Pink, teal, purple, light up your yard, dorm room, or add sparkle to your birthday party. Find every color under the sun online at ChristmasLightSource.com. That's ChristmasLightSource.com.
Hi, it's Bernadette. Introducing Charlotte's Web new hemp-infused coffee. Cannabis coffee that doesn't get you high. Boost your morning with antioxidants and neuroprotectants. A calm cup of coffee for improved focus and clarity. Charlotte's Web new 5280 hemp-infused coffee from Snow Street Coffee and Charlotte's Web. Dedicated to quality and responsibly sourced products.
Colorado companies Snow Street Coffee and CW Hemp have come together to create a great-tasting coffee that features the unique benefits of cannabinoids. In creating this coffee, great taste was and is the priority. Roasted in small batches, 5280 Coffee blends a mix of diverse coffees from the Central American Highlands. Their whole bean coffee is always roasted medium for full coffee flavor and balance, and then infused with a blend of CW cannabinoid extract in MCT-rich coconut oil. Once combined with the unmatched care that goes into Charlotte's Web, the results are a fantastic cup of coffee with an added daily health and wellness boost. Available in a 12-ounce resealable bag with 500 milligrams of Charlotte's Web hemp extract. Find them at cwhemp.com. That's cwhemp.com. Charlotte's Web, the world's most trusted hemp extract. This is one of my favorite songs to dance to since I was a young girl.
Yeah, it's a classic.
I can rock it.
Stevie, oh my gosh.
Welcome back. You know, everyone, I love doing this show. You're listening to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Danny Miles, Lexi Brinkley, and Von Eaglin. For those of you just now joining us, Von Eaglin is a licensed professional counselor and supervisor. He works with two group practices in the Dallas area. He is a certified couple relationship trainer and sees a wide range of clients addressing men's issues, anger management, abuse, and addiction, just to name a few.
Today, and weird talk show hosts.
I am a weird talk show. Bernadette, you're a weird talk show host.
Yeah. It's okay. Yeah.
He helps weird talk show hosts.
Well, that's what I do.
That's okay.
That's my special. That's my niche.
But you got to put it out there.
Yeah.
You know, it's real.
Yeah.
This is real. So many people do this,
yeah,
and they don't want to talk about it.
Yeah.
You know, because so people will think they're weird. I don't care. If you think I'm weird, it's okay. I probably am, and it's
okay. You're comfortable in your skin. That's what I like.
I am comfortable in my skin. Hey, and you know what? I want to give a shout out to one of our listeners, Mark, that emailed us, and he made me feel so good. He just made me feel so good. He was commenting on, he likes it. He cracks him up when I say really, really. And I didn't even
really
know that I say really, really, but I guess
you've done it today already.
Have I done it today?
Really?
See, I didn't even know I did it.
Okay.
Yes. Didn't even know.
I noticed it.
It's in my subconscious, I guess, really, really, when I get passionate about something. But today we're talking about connecting with the men in your life effectively. And so what are some of the evolution differences between men and women?
So men, our brains, we have these systemizing tendencies. So we have this drive to analyze, explore, and then construct systems. And so what we like to do is be able to predict things and then invent new systems. So predict systems and then invent new systems, because we had to make tools. Like, let's bring it back to cavemen. We had to make tools. And not only did we have to make tools, but we had to learn how to figure out how to hunt and gather things. And so
you can't even help this behavior.
So,
is that what you're saying?
I'm just laying the foundation
okay.
right now. So just be patient.
Okay.
So what happens is that men, we have to be, in general, we are, from an evolutionary standpoint or an anthropological standpoint, on average, we tend to be low on empathy and then high on learning how to figure out how systems work. And so strengths of character that we like to take pride in is that, so one, we like to, we take pride in being emotionally calm in a crisis,
mm-hmm.
okay? Because if you're hunting and gathering, you know, you have to be calm, you know, if a bull's charging at you or something like that. So we take pride in persistence, and we also take pride in problem solving, so figuring things out. Fast forward that. So how does that work in a relationship? So let's say you're trying to connect with me and you're my wife, Bernadette. So one, you're trying to make me open up and be vulnerable. So one, I'm going to look at you and I'm like, this, I need to figure this out. How do I stop how do I get off of this?
Well,
emotion?
I'm going to cook you something right out of the gate.
So
you're screwed.
Yeah,
okay, because I'll kill you in the kitchen.
And you're Italian too, so that's I'm in for trouble. So, you know, I'm going to be emotionally calm while you may be upset and irate with me. And then I'm going to look like I'm stubborn because I'm trying to be persistent. And again, I'm going to try to figure you out, because a lot of guys, when we look at girls, when we look at women, we say, you know, I just don't understand them. What's wrong with that?
Because why do you have to figure it? You already told again, us it's part of the caveman thing.
Exactly. Okay. So, and then with women, they tend to have these empathizing tendencies because you mm-hmm. guys, you know, just the way your mind is wired, and we're just talking about in generalities again, is that you tend to try to respond to emotion appropriately because how you're wired from an anthropological perspective. You know, whenever you were cave women, you had to understand what someone's purpose is. Mm-hmm. You had to understand their behavior. And so you talk in ways that try to resonate with other people emotionally, mm-hmm. because whenever you were child rearing, you have to be able to read micro expressions on babies' faces, and you have to be able to empathize, like, what's going on with the baby. So whenever, again, we fast forward that, and whenever you're talking to me from a woman's perspective, you're going to try to make me resonate emotionally, and I'm looking at you like, this is not logical, mm-hmm. this is not rational, she doesn't make sense to me, how do we fix it?
You're making me think of the movie Wonder Woman, and yep. how well she assessed situations right. that she was in.
You got it.
Yeah, and she was a good listener.
Exactly. But men...
Well, hence Wonder Woman.
They didn't make she's better than everybody else.
Yeah, they didn't make a movie Crap Woman.
Crap Woman. That's good. So, again, we're talking in generality. So, men can have these tendencies to empathize, okay? And sometimes that's a learned experience. So, that's a learned skill that I have to sometimes teach men whenever they come into my office. And women can be task-oriented. So, because I've seen women engineers, you know, but on average, men tend to do this problem-solving, rational tactic, and women want to talk, you know, emotionally. A lot of times, I like to say women use rapport talk and men use report talk. So, let's say you have a son. He's a teenager. He walks in the house. He takes a beeline to his room. And you mm-hmm. say, hey, son, how are you doing today? He says, fine. Can I get you anything? Nope. Are you hungry? I'm good. All I did was report to you what you just asked, you know,
right.
But you're wanting for me to open up and connect emotionally, but that's not something I'm used to. That's not something I'm socialized into doing as well, because our society usually doesn't allow men to be vulnerable. It doesn't allow men to, you know, empathize. It doesn't allow men to be weak, and because we kind of get that beat out of us in some mm-hmm. ways, you know, because there's a male culture that is that's unspoken and is unconscious, but we have to, we have to adhere to the male standards of what our culture, you know, ascribes to us.
Is that why mm-hmm. some professions are more geared for, men, and some are more geared for women? I can't think of one off,
sexist, Danny.
No, but I'm serious.
No, it's true.
You see a lot of, men yeah. pilots.
Right.
I mean, there are women captains out there, but right. you see more men pilots than women pilots. Does that have to do with what you were just talking
about?
Well,
going back to what I said earlier about men, how we had to, you know, do this hunting and gathering piece, we have to be able to tolerate long periods of solace and solitude for long periods of time. So a male pilot, let's say, and sometimes
you
may have a co-pilot.
Because women have babies, and yep. that's never going to change.
Well,
okay?
a perfect
example is Sully. Sullenberger, the pilot that landed the plane in the Hudson.
Right.
Obviously it's a movie, but the problem solving that he and his co-pilot went through, you can't get emotional
right.
when you're trying to save, you know, not only your life, but mm-hmm. the
exactly.
passenger's life.
Exactly.
You can't get emotions into that.
Exactly, mm-hmm. because men, again, we like to fix things and we like to problem solve, and a lot of times we like to, we can't bring the emotion into a situation mm-hmm. because that may cause some danger, that may not allow us to solve the problem. And so, but now, in addition to that, when we talk emotions within a relationship, when we talk about conflict, whenever we're trying to figure out a woman and a woman is kind of pursuing us, because most relationships play this dance of pursue, withdrawal, so the woman is trying to connect with the man emotionally, trying to pursue him, the man and withdraws because either I want to fix it or I tend to escalate faster because I don't know how to articulate what this woman wants from me. So mm-hmm. I escalate faster and then I stay there longer. So at times, whenever we're talking about communication among couple relationships, men, we ramp up faster and we stay there longer and we tend to do what's called flooding. And so what this flooding means is that we tend to have difficulty articulating what's going on. We don't have the ability to empathize because our brain, our neocortex is hijacked, and we revert back to this primitive fight, flight, or freeze mechanism. So,
wow.
Yeah. So the technical term is called diffuse physiological arousal. And so a lot of times men, we avoid conversation in order to keep a fight or to keep something from blowing up.
But that's not good, because communication is the key to success. So how do these differences affect conflict with a communication?
Well, like I said before, men struggle with identifying, verbalizing, and then disclosing vulnerable emotions because those vulnerable emotions, although they foster intimacy, we struggle with being able to do that because we're just not geared to it, because society doesn't allow us to do that, like I said before, because, again, guys, we're not socialized into being able to express ourselves emotionally, because if we sense weakness in other men, a lot of times we'll make fun of them, we'll criticize them, we'll condemn them, because if you look weak or you look vulnerable, or if you look like you can't take, you know, like control yourself, or if you're picked last, a lot of guys, you know, we tend to internalize that.
Suck it up, you big wuss.
Exactly.
Let me ask you this. So what are some tips for connecting with men effectively?
Well, you know, women.
I have to say, like, what are some tips for men to effectively communicate or connect with women?
Okay, all right. So men, a lot of times whenever we're connecting with women, one, we don't need to go into the problem-solving piece. So, you see, understanding always precedes problem solving. And so a man has to take time to learn how to actively listen and then understand their partner prior to problem solving. And so, in other words, you have to reframe it. In order to solve the problem, you need to understand. Mm-hmm. And so, in me saying
and
I understand.
That goes for women too.
Exactly. So men saying I understand somebody is not the same thing as them feeling understood. And so you have to try to communicate that to the person that you're actively listening, and then you can get to the problem solving piece. So that's number one. And for women, a lot of times you have to be a lot more concise with your words, because you overload us a lot of times because you talk more than we do. That mm-hmm. you know, you're coming at me with all this heat, like, oh my God, she keeps talking. She goes from here to here.
I think it's 10,000 more words a day.
At least, you know. So, I mean, but guys, we don't have the vocabulary to articulate our feelings. And then, so women have to learn how to be more succinct, more concise, and then be a little, kind of just move a little bit into this rational logic piece. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So a lot of times if women can talk in metaphors and then also do some storytelling, that allows men to kind of connect a little bit easier. For instance, like if you were to, I can describe a woman by comparing her to a car from head to toe, you know?
Really?
Exactly. So like,
I can too. I can describe a man by the car.
Okay. Okay. So some women are, you know, like, you know, really reliable cars, and, you know, they're going to get a lot of mileage out of them.
Some of them have big engines.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. That's good. So, you know, if I had to describe a woman, you know, like the engine of a woman, you know, is her brain. You know, you got to continue to put oil in it. You got to put gas in it. You got to do regular tune-up. So, in other words, I'm telling you that you really need to do the things to connect with your spouse or your partner continuously. Like, you have to always continue. Like, you know how they say you have to continually date your partner. So, it's really important that you do routine maintenance on the relationship with your partner. So that's one tip. So another tip is that sometimes women, they have these well-meaning empathic statements, but they may be ineffective with men. So you need to be direct whenever you talk, and then also talk in a strengths-based way. So for instance, let's say your partner comes to you and you may say something like, it takes a lot of courage for you to talk about this. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, it takes a lot of strength for you to actually reach out to me, you know. So that's a really good tip for women, for men.
Well,
so.
And I think that women need to be like Wonder Woman and just talk less and do more.
Just do more.
Agreed.
Or crap woman.
Thank you, Danny. I appreciate it. Give some mail.
Oh, my gosh. Thank you so much. We're going to continue this when you come on again, because I find this subject fascinating. I really do. And I think it's so helpful. So many relationships suffer because of lack of understanding, and sometimes when they really do love one another. So we're gonna talk more about this. You know what? And you guys out there listening, you can download the free iHeartRadio app and listen to us from anywhere in the world, or go to iHeartMedia.com and listen live from your mobile device. We are now podcasting in many different locations like Stitcher, Google Play, iTunes, and TuneIn. Or you can go to our website, OneLifeRadio.com, to subscribe. A big shout out to our sponsors, Crazy Water, Charlotte's Web, Squatty Potty, the ISSN, Sun Warrior, and OneStopPaleoShop.com. Be kind. It matters, because you get one body, you get one mind, and you get one life. Get out there today and make the most of it.